the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We will study tonight chapter 20 from the book of Acts, starting from verse 17. Actually, we read in verse 16 that St. Paul actually was hurrying to go to Jerusalem in order to celebrate the Pentecost in Jerusalem. That's why he decided to sail past Ephesus. So he did not stop in Ephesus in order to go to Jerusalem and to celebrate the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And knowing by the Holy Spirit that maybe this is the last time to visit Asia and the last time to see the disciples and the priests in Ephesus, that's why he decided to call them to Miletus in order to bid them farewell. So actually in this passage from verse 17 to 38, it's a model how to say goodbye, how to bid farewell to the people among whom the person serves. And also, this passage is considered a pastoral address. Actually, every clergy and every Sunday school servant should study it very, very well. I remember when we were serving as Sunday school servant in Cairo, this passage from Acts chapter 20 from verse 17 to 38, actually we used to write it on the first page of our notebook in order to be like a model for us, a curriculum for us, how we should serve the Lord. And actually, every verse in this passage is very, very important to all the servants. That's why this part is considered one of the most important passages in the Scripture. And when we celebrate the departure of one of the patriarchs, the praxis, which is reading from the book of Acts, is this passage. When we celebrate any departure of any patriarch, actually the praxis is from this passage. Also, in the ordination of a patriarch, the praxis is the same passage. As I told you, it's a model how we should serve the Lord. It teaches us that there are important principles in service we should consider and we should keep in our hearts in order to serve the Lord with faithfulness all the days of our life. So instead of stopping at Ephesus, St. Paul sent for the elders of the church to visit him at Miletus. Who are the elders of the church? As we see, St. Paul told them in order to pastor the church of God in which you were appointed as bishops. So actually he called the clergy of Ephesus, the bishops of Ephesus, to instruct them how to serve the church of God. So this address is for the clergy. This speech is for the clergy. And the apostle actually, in this passage, gave himself as an example, as a model for the service. Not out of vainglory, but actually he was using himself as an example and also to defend his apostleship. as if he is telling them, every priest and every bishop should follow my example as I'm following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul started by reviewing his labors and his ministry at Ephesus and in Asia. And here you can see how the preaching was going hand in hand with his life. He lived what he preached. There was no contradiction between his preaching and his life. And as I told you, St. Paul was not seeking vainglory when he spoke about himself. But actually, the message here was, I did not just preach the word of the gospel, but I practiced the word of the gospel as well. So, I lived according to what I preached. From verse 17, let's read. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And as I told you, the elders means the clergy. And when they had come to him, they came to him to say goodbye to St. Paul, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. So actually, they can testify for his life. They can say, because they witnessed his life, they can say how he labored day and night without rest from the first day, from the moment he arrived at Asia, how he lived his life with faithfulness in serving the Lord. As he said in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. So he said, from day one, when I arrived at Ephesus, when I arrived at Asia, actually, I start to serve the Lord. And there were three features in my service of the Lord. Number one, I serve it with humility. Number two, I serve it with tears. And number three, I serve it with hardships, trials. I faced many hardships and many trials. And I want to bring to your attention here, he said, I served the Lord. I served the Lord. Although he was serving the people, but we should know that when we serve the people, actually we are serving the Lord himself. Because this people is the children of God. So when we serve his children, as if we are serving him. And St. Paul was conscious that his service is not directed to the people, but directed to God. So, if we become unfaithful, or if we become lazy, or just we serve our ministry with routine, actually, we are not serving the people with routine or with laziness, but we are serving the Lord with lukewarmness and laziness. When we understand that our service is directed to God, then actually we should serve with zeal. We should serve with faithfulness. So, the key here, when we focus that we are serving the Lord, our effort will be great. But if we think that we are serving the people, maybe we will not be as faithful as when we realize that we are serving God. As I told you, his service had been done with humility, with tears, and with trial. With humility. Why with humility? Because we are unworthy to serve the Lord. It is honor for us that God chose us to serve him. Who among us is worthy to be a servant to God? Especially when we think about our sins and our trespasses and our iniquities. St. Paul in particular, he persecuted the church of God. He persecuted Jesus Christ. As the Lord told him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And now, God chose the person who was persecuting him to be his servant. That's why this thought humbled St. Paul. Actually, he never exalted himself. He described himself as the chief among the sinners, the chief, the first one among the sinners. So, and actually everyone in Asia knew very well the humility and the modesty of St. Paul. And when he was speaking here, as I told you, he was speaking not to seek vainglory, but actually he was describing his faithfulness and his diligence to serve the Lord in order that the elders and the clergy to follow his example. With tears, with humility, with tears. Why with tears? Because he poured these tears in prayer before God. The zeal for the people. He wanted everyone to know Christ. He wanted everyone to come to the knowledge of Christ. Actually, he said in Romans, I desire that I will be away from Christ if this will bring the Jews, my brethren, to Christ. That is, this reflects how zealous he was. That's why in tears he was praying to the Lord to bring everybody to his knowledge. St. Paul spoke about this tears when he said, my children with whom I travailed in birth. So actually, he described himself as a mother travailing with birth pangs in order to give birth to children in Christ. Because everyone, actually, he gave birth to him in Christ with tears and with pain. With tears also reflect the tenderness of his heart and his regard for the souls of people. In 2 Corinthians, he spoke about when he wrote the excommunication of the sinner at Corinth. He said, I wrote this excommunication with tears and with sorrow of heart. So when actually he disciplined with tears. He disciplined with tenderness of heart. Because St. Paul was like a father or a mother, cares too much about his children to bring everybody complete and perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, he said, I serve the Lord with humility, with tears, and with hardships from the Jews. Every place he went, the Jews were plotting against him. They tried to kill him several times. They stoned him. They scourged him. That's why, actually, he suffered a lot from the Jews. The Jews were very hostile to St. Paul, and they plotted all the time, wanting to kill him in order to stop him from his ministry. But St. Paul actually did not care about his life. He cared about preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we will read in verse 23. So, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. So, as a father here, as a true father, he did not held back anything that was beneficial or helpful to the people. Anything that was profitable to the people, he shared with them. Whatever St. Paul judged that would promote the salvation of the people, either of doctrine or admonition or labor, actually he faithfully and fearlessly delivered. That's why he said publicly, even if this costs to him some trials or hardship, he will not hide anything. He will not hide anything. Because when a preacher or a clergy picks specific verses and refuses to preach specific verses, then actually maybe he is showing favor to men. He is not faithful. Maybe he is afraid to get in trouble. That's why he is avoiding certain verses or to preach certain messages. But St. Paul, he said, whatever was profitable to you, actually I shared with you publicly and everywhere, from house to house. So St. Paul actually was doing visitation and moving from house to house. And this is a lesson to us about the importance of visitation. He said, proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly, that's in the church and from house to house. And again, there is another lesson for us. Visitation is not a social time. It's a time to preach the word of God, to share with the people what's profitable for their salvation. Verse 21, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. His message was for everybody, with the Jew, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. So he did not focus on one group, but for everybody. And this is a lesson to us. Many times we focus only on people from certain ethnic background, and that's it. But this is not the church of God. The message of the gospel is for everybody. And as I said before, when a bishop is ordained, he is ordained not on the churches, but on the city. Because actually, he should take care of everybody in the city, whether they are believers or not believers. It hurts me very, very much when I hear that a servant or a priest actually removes some name from his list. Actually, this is not does not reflect the pastoral care. We should not remove anybody from the list. Actually, we need to add to the list. And as St. Paul said, my message was for everybody, for the Jews and for the Greeks, for the believers and non-believers, for the repentant and non-repentant. We should address everybody in the whole world. As the Lord told us, go and preach the gospel to the whole world. And his message was focused on two things. Number one, repent. And number two, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent because all of us have sinned against God. Nobody is without sin, even if his life is a single day. That's why all of us, without exception, we need repentance. We cannot approach God, who is holy, with sinful hearts. That's why we need to repent. And this was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. This was the message of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And this should be our message. Whether we are clergy, or some school servants, or parents, this is the message. Repent. Repent. Turn away from your sinful deeds. But repentance without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ avails nothing. Actually, you cannot repent. You cannot stay away from sin without the help of the Holy Spirit. And in order to get the grace of the Holy Spirit, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be baptized, chrismated, confessing, taking communion, all these sacraments. And that's why his message was going in two directions. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot repent without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. Bound in the Spirit means compelled by the Spirit. the Spirit of God instructed me to go there, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. So, although St. Paul didn't know what will happen to him there, he foreknew that there are some trials and hardships waiting for him. But once the Holy Spirit told him, you need to go there, he said, yes, Lord, here I am. Many times when we are called to service, we have many questions before we accept the service, in order to make sure that the circumstances, the atmosphere is suitable for my service. There will not be hardship against me. But St. Paul actually teaches us exactly the opposite. God called him, so he said yes. Even he knew that there are hardships waiting for him. But this internal pressure in a positive way, not in a negative way, he felt he is compelled to obey the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually moved with heart, with zeal. That's why he said, now I will go to Jerusalem, although I don't know what will happen to me there. This is a test of faith. Test of faith. When God actually calls us, are we going to obey, even if some pain or some suffering is waiting for us, or no? It's a test of faith. God called Abraham to leave his family, to leave his homeland, and to follow him. And Abraham followed God, not knowing where he would be going. This is again a test of faith. St. Paul said, I don't know, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. So what he is expecting in Jerusalem? Chains and tribulation. And this was what actually happened when he went to Jerusalem. They arrested him. But St. Paul actually was not afraid of this chain, was not afraid of this tribulation. Let us see what he said in verse 24. He said, but none of these things move me. I'm not afraid of these chains of tribulations, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why? So that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So St. Paul said, God actually entrusted me with a certain ministry, and I need to finish this ministry. I will finish it with joy in spite of the tribulation. God considered me faithful to and entrusted me to fulfill the ministry. So, my soul is not dear to me. My life is not dear to me. But what I am focused on, to finish my race with joy, to finish my ministry, which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ, and this ministry is to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Actually, I remember back in 1981, when President Sadat arrested many bishops and put them in prison. One of the bishops was here in America, and actually he had American citizenship. So if he stayed here in America, he wouldn't enter the prison. And he was advised not to go to Egypt. He was on the list of the people to be arrested. But he refused to stay here in America. And he traveled to Egypt, knowing that they will arrest him in the airport. And this is what happened with him. When he arrived at the airport, they put the chains in his hand in the airport. And he knew this would happen to him. But this did not stop him from going to Egypt and testifying for the grace of God. So I'm telling you this story because thank God until this generation, until our time, there are people who are faithful. There are people who are following the steps of St. Paul, who do not consider their life dear to them, who don't count their souls something in order to finish the race and to finish the ministry which they received from the Lord Jesus Christ. So St. Paul focused on one thing only, how to continue proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And he said to finish the race with joy, in spite of the hardships and in spite of the tribulations, but he is doing it with joy, because who am I to be entrusted to be a servant of God? St. Paul felt unworthy to be a servant of God. That's why he continued to do this ministry with joy. So I can say, number one purpose in the life of St. Paul was to finish his course with faithfulness. St. Paul is saying, in other words, I'm not interested in fulfilling my own desires, but I am interested in fulfilling what God desires for me. I'm not interested to fulfill my own desires, but I'm interested to fulfill what God desires for me. It is actually expression of complete and absolute dedication to the service of God, regardless what will happen to me. Verse 25. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. So he knew that this was the last visit to Asia, and the people will not see him anymore. That's why he called them to bid them farewell. Actually, St. Paul made this announcement to point out his sorrow for leaving, to point out his love for them. He loved them, and now he is sorrowful that he will leave his children, knowing from the Holy Spirit that this is his last visit to them in Ephesus. Verse 26. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. And here actually, how many of us, the servant of God, we can say at the end of our life, I am innocent of the blood of all men. God actually will require the blood of the people from our hands. So, who among us can say with St. Paul, I am innocent of the blood of all men? Why St. Paul was able to say this? The answer in verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. He was very, very faithful. That's why he said, I am innocent from the blood of all men. He is blameless because he has fully shown to the Jews and Greeks the way to speak, to escape from every evil. He explained to them the whole counsel of God. He fulfilled his ministry. He finished the race. He was so faithful to the extent that in the last visit, he said, I am innocent of the blood of all men. And then from verse 28, he shifted to warn them from the false teachers. As he said in verse 28, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Overseer here, actually, if you look at the Coptic, you will read it episcopus. And in Arabic, asaqifa. So overseer means here bishop. Epi means from above, over. Scope, to see, like telescope, microscope. So episcope, seeing from above. So translated overseer. So we can read it, among which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This verse actually, in the Bible that's used by Jehovah Witness, they made some change in this verse. Actually, maybe most of us, we don't notice this change. But this change is very, very important because they deny the divinity of Christ by this change. Here St. Paul said to shepherd the church of God, which he, God, purchased with his, God, own blood. So this blood is the blood of God. But God as a spirit, we cannot ascribe blood for him. So this verse actually proves that Jesus is God. When he said, he purchased with his own blood, with the blood of God. Then this blood of God, God here is whom? Is Jesus. Right? In the translation that's used by Jehovah Witness, they altered this verse to read like this. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with the blood of his own. So they made the blood of his own son, of his own creature. And thus, they have actually denied the divinity of Christ. That's why you need to be very, very careful when you use the Bible, which translation and which version you can use. Because a small, actually, change in a verse like this can be a heresy. They just changed it instead of saying his own blood, they said the blood of his own. But this little change, actually, they denied the divinity of Christ. But the verse, as it is written in the original text, his own blood. And this makes the Lord Jesus Christ actually, or defend the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul is telling them, now I am leaving, and I want you, as shepherds, as bishops, as priests, as clergy, to take heed, and to take heed to yourself and to the flock. From what? From the false teachers. To shepherd the church of God, with which he purchased with his own blood. So he's saying, every person in the church, his value is the blood of God. Every person in the world, his value is the blood of God. So actually, if you don't take care of any person, this means the blood of God is nothing to you. That's why he told them, you need to shepherd the flock, because this flock was purchased by the blood of God. He warned them as clergy to follow his example, and as true shepherds, they should lay down their lives to defend the flock instead of escaping from the wolf. The Lord said the hireling, when he sees a wolf, will escape, will run. But the good shepherd actually will lay down his life for his flock, for his sheep. So St. Paul actually is reminding all of us how important all the members of the Church of God, because they are purchased by the blood of God. These false teachers can come from inside the church or from outside the church. As he said in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So here he's speaking about the false teachers who came from outside the church. He told them, after I leave you, wolves will come and they will not spare the flock. Actually, they will destroy the flock. And then actually, in verse 30, he told them, also from among yourselves, from among the church, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. We need to be very watchful. Actually, Satan is attacking the church from the time of St. Paul and until now with false teachers. And we can find false teachers from outside the church and also from among us, from inside the church, false teachers. And sometimes we dilute the importance of the doctrine. And we say, why we disagree with each other about these doctrines? Just let us put the doctrines and the dogma aside and let us just love one another. Actually, the true love is to protect the person from the false teaching. Some people nowadays, they say, if we don't agree in doctrine, let us agree in loving one another. This is deception. This is deception. We cannot love one another except if we have, you know, the true doctrine and the true teaching. Why is that? Because if you care about the other person, you should want the other person to know the truth. But if you don't care about him, then whether he knew the truth or not, it doesn't matter to you. So this is not love. This is from outside. Looks like love. But the real love, actually, when you bring people to the knowledge of the truth. That's why, what is the commandment that St. Paul instructed the clergy in Ephesus to be careful with? It is a commandment to protect the flock from the savage wolves. And here St. Paul, who is very, very tender in his words, he described the false teachers as savage wolves. Because as the Lord said in John chapter 10, the wolf come to steal and to destroy and to kill. And that's what exactly the false teachers do. They come to destroy and to kill and to steal. So, we as servants, as parents, as clergy, we should be very careful and very watchful for the external and internal false teacher. The teacher should feed the flock, but these people actually don't feed the flock. They come to destroy, to steal, and to kill. And God will hold us accountable to teach the truth and to defend the truth, the whole truth. That's why St. Paul warned them of how some would rise from among them, speaking perverse things and drawing away those who are weak in the knowledge of God. He is asking them to be on their guard, observe the approach of danger, and set themselves against it. That's why when any new idea or new philosophy or new ideology or a false teaching, the clergy, the bishop, the priest, the Sunday school servant, the parent, should be very, very alert to protect their flock from these savage wolves. Verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And here St. Paul actually gave us a program how to defend the truth. He told us at least two things. You need actually to pray with tears that God may protect the people from the false teachers. And number two, not to cease to warn everyone, night and day, to teach everyone. St. Paul mentioned here 3 years, because he spent in Asia 3 years. He spent 3 months in the synagogue at Ephesus teaching the Jews, as we read in Acts chapter 19, verse 8. Then he spent 2 years in the school of Tyrannus in Acts 19, verse 9 and 10, teaching the Greeks, beside his teaching in the church assembly. So here we can say that St. Paul spent three years with tears actually, and preaching and warning the people against the false teacher. St. Paul had been faithful to preach and teach for 3.5 years. Apparently St. Paul was very, very strong in defending the truth against the false teacher. And I'm sure you know how he stood against the Judaizers. Judaizers, those who preached that in order to be saved, you need to keep the law of Moses and all the customs of the Jews. He prayed for the churches with tears, with great compassion. Any ministry that's not supported by tears and prayer will not be successful. So we as clergy, we need to spend time not only in preaching and warning the people, but also in our inner room, getting on our knees, praying with tears and with compassion before God. Because the word of God will edify them. So he told them, number one, how to what's the program to warn the people against, or to protect the people from the false teachers. Number one, to pray with tears. Number two, to warn the people day and night. And number three, as he said in verse 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. So number three, reading and studying and keeping the word of God in our heart, the word of his grace. Why? The word of God, that's what the word of God can do for us, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So St. Paul told them, pray, warn everybody against the false teachers, keep the word of God, the word of his grace. The word of God will build you up and also will give you the inheritance of the kingdom of God. So, if we draw to the word of God, then the word of God will build me up. The word of God will be my guide in all my life, in my difficulties, and in my peaceful time. The word of God will be able to build me up and also to give me inheritance with all the saints, with all who are sanctified. If we follow the word of God, we cannot drift away. We cannot go astray. Nothing strengthens us like reading the scripture and drawing close to God. And I want here to bring to your attention how St. Paul describes all the Christians as sanctified. Among all those who are sanctified, when we receive the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of Chrismation, the Holy Spirit actually sanctifies us from every defilement. Then from verse 33, St. Paul spoke about how he made the gospel of God with no cost, available with everybody. That's why in verse 33 he said, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. So St. Paul actually, although the Lord said the servant of the gospel should eat from the altar, but St. Paul did not use this right. He actually provided the word of God at no cost. He worked and labored with his hand to provide for his needs, not only for his needs, but for the needs of those who were traveling with them. So St. Paul is setting an example how actually he labored and he beside his preaching, he was working also to support the ministry and to support the poor and the needy. Although he was traveling from place to place, but he never took money from people. But he supported himself and those who were traveling with him. Why St. Paul did it this way? In order to keep his reputation clear that he was not doing it for money. He was not doing it for money. St. Paul actually not bragging here, but setting an example so the clergy may follow his example. How to make the gospel of Christ at minimum cost or at no cost, at least as St. Paul said. St. Paul was not seeking any self-gain here, but he was focusing on how to proclaim the word of God. That's why even his disciples, like Timothy, in his letter to Timothy, 1st letter, chapter 6, verse 10, he asked Timothy to escape from the love of money. And he told him, this admonition should never be forgotten, to escape from the love of money. Not only that, so St. Paul worked to provide for his necessities and for the necessities of those who were serving with him. Not only that, but also he worked to provide for the poor and the needy. As we read in verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And here actually St. Paul is setting an example to all of us. If he who has the right to eat from the altar, he refused to use this right, how much more we should support, labor in order to support the weak and the needy. And he reminded us with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This verse actually, you will not find it anywhere in the four Gospels. So we use this verse to prove what we call the oral tradition. What's the oral tradition? The tradition of the church is kept from generation to generation, either orally or written. Written tradition like the gospel, like the Bible, it's a written tradition. But there is also oral tradition that there are some stories that we heard from the fathers and or verses that we heard from the fathers that are not written. But these verses or stories goes from generation to generation in a verbal way. And it is considered part of our tradition that we should follow. Because the Protestants teach that unless it is written in the gospel, don't believe in it. But this verse is not in the gospel, how St. Paul believed in it. Because he received this verse through oral tradition. Oral tradition. He concluded his speech by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And St. Paul set an example not only giving money, but giving his life. Giving his whole life for ministry. Verse 36, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. St. Paul concluded his message by prayer. Kneeling actually is one of the posture of prayer. To kneel down before God, it reflects humility and submission, especially when we ask or we supplicate before the Lord. Then actually it's proper to kneel down before the Lord as a sign of humbleness, humility, and submission. And actually, when we pray before God, when we stand before God, we should be humble and submissive to the word of God. Verse 37, then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck, kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Actually, here there is a great indication that St. Paul was a loved man. They loved him. The clergy were in great sorrow over the fact that they will not see St. Paul again. It reflects here how St. Paul was very, very faithful and affectionate to his people. And in return, the clergy and the people also were very faithful to St. Paul and also affectionate to St. Paul. They admired him. And this admiration was a warm admiration. They were attached to St. Paul as their faithful father. That's why they cried freely, they kissed him, they had sorrow in their heart that they will not see his face anymore. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.